May it please the court, Tom Johnson. I'm privileged today to represent Donald Stalkup, who is the coal miner involved here. This black lung case, like all black lung cases, presented some very specific scientific disputes. And this court in McCandless and a whole series of decisions have said that scientific disputes in these black lung cases have to be resolved on scientific grounds. It has repeatedly told administrative law judges that you cannot use these arbitrary legal rules about the treater always wins or the examiner always wins or let's see who has the more expert opinions in terms of the two sides. You have to get your hands dirty and get down into the science and resolve the disputes. So in this case, and the reason this case is here is this ALJ did not do that. In fact, he never did it in three tries at resolving this case. This case involves a man who mined coal for 30 years, that's undisputed, never smoked, never worked at a job with any other occupational exposure, came into the mines as quite an athletic person, a mile runner and an athlete, came out with what is undisputed pulmonary obstruction. So the first scientific question in this case is the causation question, almost always an issue in black lung cases. What is causing his pulmonary obstruction? The ALJ, after discounting various opinions that were incomplete or equivocal, ends up with five doctors on this question of causation. Two of them say, we look at this pulmonary obstruction and we say, this man has adult onset asthma. Another doctor says, 30 years ago, he had a hernia. I think the hernia gave rise to acid reflux. I think the acid reflux caused him to aspirate, and the aspiration is causing his obstruction. Two other doctors said, he's got 30 years of heavy dust exposure in the mines. That's what's causing his obstruction. Now, the scientific issue is causation. So we look at, let's take asthma, for example. Asthma is a common disease. It's discussed in the medical schools, in classes, it's in medical textbooks, it's in medical journal articles. It is not a secret as to how somebody diagnoses asthma. One of the key components is when you administer bronchodilators to somebody with obstruction, what happens to the FEV1 component of their pulmonary function test? If somebody has asthma, all the medical texts say that his FEV1 will go back to normal. If you have coal dust-induced obstruction, that's not going to happen. That's one of the scientific issues. Okay, our experts said, we look at it, it didn't happen in this man. His FEV1 did not go back.
Asthma and this lung disease, this dust caused, are they both obstructive or restrictive? I've forgotten now.
Yes,
they are. Isn't asthma difficulty breathing out? Isn't that the problem?
Right, and that's characteristic of obstruction. So asthma and coal dust-induced obstruction.
Well, that's what they call obstruction, when it's hard to breathe out.
And restriction would be where you have interstitial scarring on the lungs, and essentially the lungs become stiff.
So that asthma and this coal dust-induced have similar...
They can look similarly in terms of symptoms. But again, if you get into the science, which the lawyers here did and the experts did, it's just that the ALJ never did. So we spent time, money, learning the medical text, deposing everybody. We presented it all to the ALJ, and he came up with this conclusion that, well, three people say he didn't have pneumoconiosis and two did, so the side with three experts wins. That's not his job. As this court has pointed out, ALJs have a specialized area that they're dealing with. They need to learn the medicine and resolve these cases scientifically. So, with respect to asthma as well, the defense experts in this case said, well, he has elevated residual volumes on his PFT, pulmonary function test. That's one component of the test. They say, well, that means he's got asthma. Our experts say, nonsense. Look at this well-regarded text from Dr. Clausen that's used in all the medical schools. Elevated residual volumes have nothing to do with asthma. We've got a dispute. The ALJ never gets that far. The people who try the cases for the coal company, the people who try it for us, we spend all this time and money and effort to try to put these issues before the ALJ. When all we get is 3-2, you lose, that's not doing their job. We're not asking you to award benefits to this man. We're asking you to send it back with instructions to get into the science. That's really all we're asking for.
Is there any evidence about his ever using a bronchodilator or other asthma treatment?
The bronchodilator is administered during the pulmonary function test as a way to... It's a diagnostic tool.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought you had to have an asthmatic attack to have the bronchodilator do something.
There's an inhaler, for example, that can be given medicinally, but the bronchodilators are really used during the testing.
The bronchodilators were those puffers, those inhalers.
It's a form of bronchodilator, but what they do during the test is more dramatic because they're looking at it diagnostically.
But is there any evidence that he uses a bronchodilator?
I believe he has got an inhaler, but
your argument is that wouldn't work, right, for him?
Our argument is the bronchodilator during the testing is used diagnostically to separate asthma from other forms of obstruction.
Oh, I see. So are you saying an inhaler can treat something besides asthma?
Yes, absolutely. It's used in almost any form of obstructive lung disease. Absolutely. Same with a nebulizer.
So the bronchodilator refers to the drug rather than to the instrument.
That's correct. And as I say, it's used to separate out really asthma from other forms of obstruction. Same with all the other reasons that were advanced by either side here. The problem is the judge never just got to it. With that, I think, unless there's other questions, I'm going to reserve my time.
Thank you. Mr. Solomons?
Good morning. The administrative law judge in this case made two independently dispositive rulings. First, that the minor didn't have pneumoconiosis, and second, that he had no totally disabling respiratory impairment. If either one of those is affirmable, the claimant loses. And I admit that the administrative law judge's decision here is hardly Holmesian in its erudition, but I think it's probably enough.
But it looks like nose counting, right, which we said you can't do.
Your Honor, he didn't nose count.
On both sides, right?
He didn't nose count. Look at page 60 of the appendix. He won't be on the page before that, and then on that page, he said he went through the reports, and he said that I have to have, citing this court's decision in Canis, I have to have a medical reason to resolve this conflict between whether the minor had some sort of a coal dust induced obstruction or whether the minor had pure asthmatic bronchitis, which is what some of the other doctors diagnosed, to the exclusion of black lung disease. He said, looked at all of these. He didn't say three beats two. He said that the qualifications of these doctors and the degree of reasoning and documentation in their reports is equal.
And then he said three beats two.
I don't see that.
Well, the middle paragraph on that page, the concluding two sentences are that we've got five doctors, three found pneumoconiosis, two did not. Because he considered them all to be equal, he finds no pneumoconiosis.
Well, what he said was because these opinions are entitled to equal weight, I now find that claimant has not established.
Well, that's, multiplying 3 by X and 2 by X, and 3X is...
But I'm not denying that if he said 3 beats 2, he should go back and do it over.
I think the passage Judge Sykes read to you says just that. If you have five opinions of equal weight and three are on one side and two on the other, the three outweigh the two. That's what he said.
Well, I think we're assuming, I think it can be read to say that these opinions are all equal and therefore there is no medical reason to resolve them in any particular direction.
Well, I think that's what Mr. Johnson says. Is the ALJ ducking his responsibility, which is to say, okay, I have five.
Well, let me say something about the evidence on pneumoconiosis. I mean, these are like Republicans and Democrats. I mean, these guys wouldn't have agreed on the time of day. There is a substantial amount of proof in this record that this guy had a history of asthma that he was treated for treating.
Concretely, so what Mr. Johnson said was that the administration of bronchodilators to Stalkup showed that he doesn't have asthma.
That's not, that may be Mr. sorry, you know, Mr. Johnson's opinion. That's not what's in the record. And it would be nice if he had supplied an appendix, because then you would know it was in the record, rather than having to go dig through it. But that's not what anybody said here. What they said here was that this guy was taking bronchodilators, he was taking cortisone, he was taking four medications, all of which are prescribed for asthma and not COPD. That's what he was taking. He was taking those medications, and our doctor said that was only one of many factors which would lead you to believe that this man had bronchial asthma and not some kind of black lung-related condition. But and his doctor said, oh, well, you can take those, and maybe they're mostly for asthma, but they don't have to be for asthma, and so maybe they're not for asthma. I mean, essentially what you have here is a fairly overwhelming case for pure asthma, and the doctors on the other side...
Does he have allergies?
Yes. He had hay fever. He had allergies. I mean, he had all the stuff. Plus some of the test results: normal diffusing capacity, elevated DCLO, normal blood gas tests. I mean, okay, but you can't resolve that. What we're talking about here was whether the ALJ did a good enough job on this. And the fact of the matter is I think it is as reasonable to read this in light of this record to say that the administrative law judge's conclusion was, I don't know, nobody has convinced me, they've got the burden of proof, they lose. He never once said three beats two, never said it. There are no words to that effect in this opinion. He said there were three and two, but never said three beats two. He said they were all equal. And I think that perhaps that's a failure of the attorneys in not doing a better job in convincing him or in eliciting better statements or more persuasive statements from the doctors. But the administrative law judge is not responsible for a failure of the attorneys to put on a record that was persuasive one way or the other.
So is Dr. Cook, whom you're relying on, you say he... pulmonary function studies showed a mild obstruction with statistically significant improvement following bronchodilators.
Well, that's...
Is that what you're setting up against what Mr. Johnson was saying?
No, there's a lot of stuff in this record
No?
Pardon me?
What do you mean, no?
The administrative law judge didn't rely on Dr. Cook.
Why not?
He had some reason for not relying on Dr.
Did anybody else... Then did any of your doctors...
Yeah, Castle... All these guys
administered these bronchodilators and found that it did improve his condition.
Yeah, they did. Castle, Tudor, and DeHaan all noted it, as did Cook, and it did improve. Even their doctors admitted it substantially improved his condition. And bronchodilators are given as a part of the pulmonary function regime for testing, but they're also given to people who have asthma. To take with an inhaler if they have an asthmatic attack. They also take cortisone. They also take some other medications, which this guy took in this case.
You said that the ALJ didn't credit Dr. Cook?
Yeah, he did not credit Dr. Cook.
So why do you argue Dr. Cook in your brief?
Well, I mean, the administrative law judge,
you're
Dr.
Not
Cook
supposed
provided,
to rely on evidence that the ALJ rejects.
We weren't relying on evidence the ALJ rejects. What we're relying on there is our facts.
Testimony.
Facts that were collected by Dr. Cook that are not disputed. And those facts are repeated by Dr. Castle.
You talked about Dr. Cook's diagnosis.
Pardon me?
You talked about Dr. Cook's findings in your brief.
Right. But that's not all we talk about. I mean, the administrative law judge rejected a part of Dr. Cook's ultimate conclusions as being unreasoned for some reason, which I don't recall. I'm sorry. But he did not reject Castle, Tudor, and DeHaan, all of which also made the same findings based upon not on a conclusion from Dr. Cook, but on test results that were in the record. Also, on total disability, which would be independently dispositive, the problem here is that what the administrative law judge did, again, a little more discussion would have been nice, but what he said was that, and here's a guy whose tests are basically all normal. Now, you know, Mr. Johnson has said, in his, it was interesting in his reply brief that, yeah, but look, he only had a 32% VDT. That's normal. I mean, it's not 32% below normal. It is normal. And so, but the what's important is not what Mr. Johns puts in his brief. What's important is what the doctors say about these results. This guy's test results were fundamentally, the valid ones, all normal.
And you see, the problem you have, going back to the medical thing, medical issue, not the disability, the ALJ says, page 60, the board cautioned that I must set forth a medical reason for crediting Dr. Cohen's examining report over others of record. He never gives a medical reason. He just says all five are of equal weight and therefore Stalkup loses. There is no analysis. The analysis in your brief is fine, but it isn't in his opinion.
No, and we can't rewrite his opinion. I appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is that it is appropriate, it seems to me, for an ALJ to conclude, I have no medical reason to credit one body of evidence over another. That is sufficient, it seems to me.
No, that's absurd. That just creates a race to hire experts.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the administrative law judge concluded here. I think that if there's an obligation that he has to go in, we don't have to prove he's got asthma. He has to prove he has black lung. I think that the problem here is that the administrative law judge could not establish to his own satisfaction that they have proved that he has black lung rather than asthma, much less total disability.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Solomon. Mr. Johnson, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
Yes, let me just disagree vehemently with how Mr. Solomons characterizes the record, and there's lots of mistakes that he made. Dr. Tudor, in this case, specifically found there was no asthma. Dr. Tudor is the one who believes this is an acid reflux aspiration issue. EX 50, page 54, it's very clear. The man's tests are not normal. They're at 60% of normal. It's very clear from the values that we put in our brief. But in the end, it doesn't matter how Mr. Solomons characterizes the record or how I characterize the record. It's how the ALJ characterized the record. And the problem is, if you search his opinion, he never gets into the significance of bronchodilators or what happened when they were administered, the significance of residual volume, the significance of how often coal dust-induced obstructive lung disease occurs. These are the barometers. I want to close by just saying, when we try criminal cases, say it's an identification issue. The state has a witness. The defense has a witness. The judge, 26th Street, every place, they look at that and they use a set of criteria. They say, if the issue's identification, they say, well, you know, how close were you? What was the lighting? Were you drunk? Did you tell the police at the time what you're telling us now? There are indicia that tell us who's credible. You don't go to a criminal case and have the judge come back and say, well, you know, there's one on each side, so state loses. That's not what happens. He measures the credibility, he or she. Same thing here. That's what Judge Jansen needed to do. He needed to look at the medical literature, the textbooks, what the DOL has determined by way of legislative fact-finding, how consistent this stuff is with the clinical record. Okay, this man had a hernia 30 years ago. Then he competed in athletics, worked as a coal miner for 30 years. Nobody has ever treated him for acid reflux, and yet you have an opinion saying, because of the 30-year-old hernia, I think maybe he had acid reflux. Maybe he did some aspiration. Maybe the aspiration caused the obstruction. Not a shred of clinical evidence. He has to look at that stuff and decide what is credible here. He didn't do it. We've tried three times with this judge, and he has never once gotten into the science. It's a problem. And we brought the case here because we need this court to instruct these ALJs to get their hands dirty with science.
Well, you won the first two times in front of this.
You know, and that's the worst situation, to win with an opinion that is very hard to defend. I mean, that is the worst of all predicaments, and it's unfortunate that's what Mr. Solomons has got right now. So thank you.
Thank you very much to both counsel.